Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's Friday night and it is the Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour with People's Gas at peoples-gas.com here at the Energy Innovation Center. It keeps getting better. Covestro's Bright Room. We have like the most amazing view of Pittsburgh as we do this show. Too bad we can't show you, but I will describe it.
It's almost 360 degrees.
Yeah, it is. It is craziness here. And we just love being able to work with companies like People's Gas to take the show on the road and talk to the companies that are making it happen. And obviously, we're going to be talking about energy companies.
We
of
are.
All sorts and kinds.
We're going to let them all in?
We're going to let them all in because there's so many great stories to be told that we have to kick it off immediately. And we have no stranger, Ron Godovic from Windstax. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Hey, Ron, being, I haven't seen you in a
being
while.
Part of the tour.
I'm happy to be here. I always like to make it to downtown.
Great to catch up with what you're up to these days. So why don't you give us, just for our listeners, real
what
quick.
What is Windstax?
What does it say?
Sure.
Windstax
is. Well, Windstax is a company we were founded in Pittsburgh. We're a manufacturing company. We actually developed the largest vertical axis wind turbine in the United States and manufactured here.
And dare I say the most beautiful.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm just saying, they are aesthetically pleasing.
I like to agree with you. Yes. As the OEM, we get the benefit of painting them whatever color and logos that our customers want. So where else do you get a windmill that's not gray? You
know, exactly.
You get something that's...
And if you're driving across the Rankin Bridge, mm-hmm. you just look down on Braddock, you can see a few of them standing up along the riverbank.
Yes.
If you drive
along
past
Rankin
the engine...
Yeah, we have three of our 40-foot wind stacks powering a manufacturing facility called Epic Metals. It mm-hmm. powers their lighting in their facility. Yeah, down along the Mon Valley.
See, I didn't realize they were actually... I thought they were just looking... They were just hanging out just to look cool, but
they're
actually...
They're working.
Producing electricity.
Yes.
So describe them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, a lot of our customers describe them as functional art. They're a triangular steel frame with a generally an aluminum cylinder running up the center. So it's a different twist on a wind turbine design. It's, in fact, our patented rotor design that takes wind at lower elevations that is more turbulent and something that we see like in the urban environments or on the Mon Valley.
It's windy out there today. We're walking up the hill here.
It's windy, all right.
Your wind stack's doing like 100,000 RPM out there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's buzzing away. We love windy days, yes, yeah.
But you should be in the Netherlands right now.
Yes, I guess so. But, you know, we started off with smaller turbines at 20-foot and 40-foot, and now we have 60 and 80-foot utility-scale turbines, with twice as tall as that one.
Wow.
We continue to grow. So we're a homegrown Pittsburgh-based manufacturer. We built these in the Strip District until we recently moved out to Plum Borough.
You had that great one on the curb.
Yes, that was cool.
Was,
for lack of space, we stored it on the curb. So it's been a nice ride for us here in Pittsburgh, and some of our best customers are really right in our backyard.
Who are your customers? Who are some people that are putting these in?
You know, we have we just finished our second contract with the U.S. Navy. We have wind turbines out in Ventura, California, and went through the wildfires out there and the mudslides recently.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
We have a turbine as far away as Bahrain in the Middle East,
and
we have a new distributor in Morocco.
In Morocco.
And so where are you seeing the trends? Where are you seeing the early adopters, obviously?
Yeah, you know, there was a... there was a kind of audible gasp in the industry when the Trump administration came on with green energy. No one really knew what was going to happen.
What's up with this, right?
And the Paris Accord issues as well. But I have to say, it's been the best thing for our business because what we saw is a new resolve by companies to say we're going.
We're doing this.
We don't need anyone to tell us that we need to go green. We're going to go green on ourselves because we know sustainability is good for business. It's good for us. And so our niche has been in not only the wind turbine space, but what's called microgrids,
right,
where we store the electricity that we generate, and then that stored electricity is used to run loads.
So, Ron, if I were a homeowner, if I were interested, could a homeowner put one of these cool turbines in their front yard or backyard and then hook it into their house, and could it help produce electricity for your home and kind of offset your normal usage on the grid, or put energy back into the grid?
Yes, okay. Indeed. In fact, when we first started, about half of our customers were residential and half commercial. We've leaned a little more heavily towards commercial and industrial lately.
Okay.
But this year, we just began taking residential orders again. We just couldn't really keep up. We have a lot of repeat customers.
I could see someone having solar panels on the roof and then having wind turbine and having maybe like some sort of a heat pump or something like that.
Yes.
A little bit of everything kind of going on.
Well, that's right.
And like a buffet of energy production.
Well, you know, our philosophy has always been that America's energy solution is a mixed solution of traditional and more efficient fossil fuels development, along with wind, solar, hydro, et cetera. So all of our systems are hybrid, wind or solar, or CHP, which you probably just heard about earlier. So that's been a big benefit to us, that we do take a hybrid approach. So we have residential customers that have our 20-foot units and 40-foot units in their side yards and are essentially off-grid.
That's so cool.
We can do that, and we do like to do that as well. So it's we've even painted our wind turbine towers Anderson window brown to match a home's windows.
Nice.
So again, it's that functional art.
Yes, exactly.
And of course, you saw our wind turbines on the Rachel Carson Bridge out here.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like Cabestre.
27,000 LEDs.
That's so cool.
Awesome.
In Pittsburgh.
Only in Pittsburgh. Yes,
that's why it's so cool. We got a couple minutes left. If people want to learn more about WindStax, where can they go and check out your awesome machines?
Yeah. So now, just looking out our window here at the Energy Innovation Center, is our latest installation right in the city of Pittsburgh. And on the Lower Hill District, we have a 40-foot wind turbine here that is powering one of our newer products, which is a portable microgrid. It's a 800-pound, essentially, battery pack that you can take your wind energy anywhere you want to. It's motorized. You can move it around the building. So
800 pounds doesn't sound so nimble. But
it's motorized. You can drive it. So for somewhere like here where construction is going on all the time and you don't want to have noisy generators going on, you can literally move your wind energy from one location to the other.
Aim it into the wind and off you go, right?
Exactly. So it's a new product line for us. We just sold some down into Florida and Puerto Rico, where they're having trouble. Because not only can't you get power, you can't get diesel or gas to run your generator.
They need their whole island surrounded by these things.
Plum Township now.
Plum
want to come and visit you?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that was just to be our warehouse and assembly plant, and our hope is
The showroom floor?
The showroom floor we're hoping is going to be right behind us, up on the second floor in the Energy Innovation
Center.
NEIC.
Awesome.
So we're looking to bring our all of our administrative and R&D functions back here downtown. So hopefully that's going to happen later this year.
Oh, gosh. You're giving me...
awesome.
It's great. It's great that you're here. It's great that you're doing this against all odds. And it's great that the world is knowing about you now.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And it's been fun. I can't think of a better place to have started the company than in Pittsburgh.
And
it's been great. And who would have thought Energy Innovation Center
there it is.
10 years ago. And here we are.
Absolutely. We got a great show in front of us.
That's
we love
great.
Hanging
thank
out with People's
you,
Gas here. We have Morgan O'Brien, the head of People's Gas, who will be joining us as our last interview of the show today. And we also have Dr. Chris Howard from Robert Morris University, where they have some activities going on here at the Energy Innovation Center. And just a great show all the way around in front of us. I cannot wait to bring more interviews from the scene here. So much fun stuff happening.
It was great.
Keep your dial tuned.
It was my pleasure.
We appreciate it, Ron. Keep keep twisting out there.
Fighting the good fight.
Absolutely. Hey, we're taking a quick break. Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Go to peoples-gas.com as well and check out all the great stuff that they're up to. And this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
So happy you could join us tonight, hanging out with the Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour at the Energy Innovation Center. To get even more precise, we're in the Covestro Bright Room. I love this place.
I know.
We're with one of the people here that made this happen. We have Bill Miller here. Bill, thanks for hanging out.
It's hard for me to take my eyes off of the view.
Isn't it great?
It is awesome.
I just don't know where else there's a view like this, except if you just go up a little bit more on the hill.
Yeah, we're going to keep this view. You know, there's nothing that's going to change in our horizon that's going to impede that
view.
Exactly. So we're pretty happy about that.
It's great. So, Bill, tell us about the Energy Innovation Center. Our listeners want to know. There's so much to hear. So where do we start?
Like, the history of this place is pretty amazing.
Because we use the building as an instrument of what we do here.
Maybe
a little history would help.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. Give us a little history. Absolutely.
The building was designed and built by the Pittsburgh School Board commissioned in 1930. It was designed to be their boat tech training, career technical education training platform.
During the Depression.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Huh. It has an academic building, which is very traditional. You would recognize that there are lockers and hallways, and classrooms. It's complemented by a full-size gymnasium, Olympic-sized swimming pool, and 750-seat auditorium. Just a really nice state-of-the-art school for the early 1930s. And then the building that you're in, it's characterized by the sawtooth roof, by the shape of the roof.
Exactly.
Angles. It was all their labs. So at any one time, they had 28 to 30 different labs.
Really?
Depending on what industry's demands were.
Okay.
So
they had a theory that they should be in close contact with industry, and they should relay to industry what their skill sets were necessary to be accomplished.
Not much changes in 75 years, right?
It was a good idea in 1930.
Yeah.
Great idea now.
Guess what? It's still a pretty good idea.
Absolutely.
It's still like a great idea.
So fundamentally, you know, we operate that same way. Our industry partners relayed to us exactly what skill sets are necessary to be, to be accomplished within their industry, and we respond to that with academic programs and deliver on that and get these folks from unemployment to employment through that process.
Exactly.
Now, the rest of the building, outside of our academic program, which is very strong and very important factor of what we do, the building was designed to be an academic training tool in and of itself. It is a living lab.
It's like a living lab, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So we set out to, at the beginning stages, to really look at this differently than most buildings. Adaptive reuse of facilities are because of that. It really had to interact with the training platform and the research platforms that we're adding to the building. So I'm a firm believer of integrated concurrent engineering principles, which basically means that all parties who can influence design of a building should be at the table from the very beginning, and there should be a tremendous amount of interaction between all the disciplines of that activity, to include commissioning. Commissioning is something we are under continuous commissioning, which means we're monitoring the performance of this building
all the time.
All the time.
So it's a living building.
It is. We're gathering over 9,000 data points every 5 minutes.
Every 5 minutes.
Like what? What kind of data?
Well, almost all moving parts of the building, motors, sequencers, are all sending data back to us. Now, why is that important?
Yeah.
Well, we run that through an algorithm that helps us understand how the building is behaving and performing. So adjustments can be made. So we're
so like if I'm feeling a little chilly, you'll be able to.
And those are very typical in a building. But are the motors running at the right RPMs?
Okay. You know, so efficiency.
The right efficiencies, right.
When you get lead, when we are lead platinum, when you get that sticker on the door, you should obtain some optimization in your systems. But that stops actually after
platinum is as high as you can go, right?
Platinum is as high as you can go. Yeah, but that stops the day. Once you get that the certification, you know, your time is really kind of, you can just stop being efficient from that point forward. Mm-hmm. Now, most people do that for a reason, and they continue the process.
Right.
Well, we do that, and you know, we have to walk that walk.
For sure.
We have to have continuous commissioning. So,
what I find really interesting is how all the Pittsburgh institutions have rallied behind this. The universities, private industry, they all have labs in here. They're all have gotten behind what the EIC is all about.
Mm-hmm. You know, what we were trying to create in a conceptual format was really to have a neutral platform where people can operate what they're currently doing outside of the building. They can operate in the building autonomously, but they can also interact and be a part of the total dynamic of the facility.
Okay.
So, for instance, Pitt is doing work here that really lifts it from the university general research and advancing science process to a platform where they can intersect with the private sector without being encumbered by intellectual property issues.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is a big barrier.
That's a big deal. Bob Meter, our president, and myself helped produce a platform like this about 8 years ago.
Okay.
And they got it and grew it exponentially. And MIT, Stanford, Cal, those folks get that CMUs very much
right.
Like that. These larger research institutions are paying more attention to how they interact
right.
and intertwine with the development of real practical application technologies. So this allows them to do that. They simply come here and they're not they don't have to go to the intellectual property office. They simply start working on the problem. And they brought researchers here that have a background in the private sector, so that they know the language and the culture on the private sector side, and obviously on the university side as well. So I mean that's kind of a magical time when that really starts to work well.
Sure.
And so industry follows them. It follows other things that are happening in the building. Again, we're responding on the workforce development side of that equation to listen and respond to the market demands and using our academic partners and creating our own curriculum and delivery methods to satisfy that demands. And on the technology advancement side, we want to be a big part of that solution as well.
Absolutely. So tell us about your thoughts with People's Gas. Like, they're sponsoring the show tonight with us, bringing out the welcome mat for us.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, so big, big institution here in Pittsburgh, and obviously with the EIC and how they can kind of make this happen. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's another great example of a partnership where we have an asset that they can leverage.
Right.
We talked about these microturbines, that technology as an additive manufacturing process they can implement here. One, if they install these in more places, the logic is they're going to sell more gas, so they're incentivized to certainly promote that technology. And we're the platform where that can be demonstrated and really monitored and really understand what that return on investment should be. So the manufacturers can state that this should give you a return on investment by this margin. Well, we can actually test that out and
validate it.
That's what we're doing here.
Love
so our building is designed to bolt on technology. So it's designed so we can capture that data.
Right.
We can translate that data and we can form put that through an algorithm that helps us really understand the real value of the technology.
So we're here with Bill Miller at the Energy Innovation Center. Give us one thing that you want our listeners to know.
Well, I think we're open for business, and we are really looking forward to this intersection where lots of creative activity can happen. And we really want this to be the thought center, and really taking it from thought all the way through to form that into an action plan that really has tangible, definable results at the end of the day. So we bring our corporate partners here. We really want to. It's interesting to have discussions, academic discussions, about how we can solve energy problems and efficiencies. But how do you translate that into an action plan? And we're that's the part of the equation we want to be very much a part
of. Sure. Pittsburgh is so blessed to have this as a resource here. And I think it's one of the things that's making Pittsburgh the great city that it is. We're glad you're doing what you're doing. People want to learn more about the Energy Innovation Center. Where can they go? and like nerd out and get more details?
You know, I think, you know, one stop by.
Yeah.
You know, certainly making an introduction to us formally would be helpful.
Get a great tour of all the awesome
views. Yeah, we've given a lot of tours. We think working with small groups one at a time has been beneficial to us and beneficial
Excellent.
To the people who are receiving the tour. So we take that time to do that. I mean, certainly go online. There's information online that
they
do a little research before they get here.
But, fantastic stuff.
Very good.
Excellent. Once again,
thank you.
Another great story here on Tech Vibe. Wouldn't happen without People's Gas. Go to peoples-gas.com. We're taking a quick break. We are coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio from the Energy Innovation Center right here at the Covestro Bright Room. It's bright, man. I love it. This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org. There's no better way to spend your Friday night than listening to Tech Vibe Radio, especially when we take it on the road to the Energy Innovation Center with People's Gas, peoples-gas.com. And Audrey, we have a guest on our show right now that I'm really pumped about. We've been trying for a while to get this guy on the show.
Really? Because
yes.
He's like too busy for us?
Like too busy and stuff. I'm like, oh, I don't know if Dr. Howard can stop by. But no, we're really pumped because Robert Morris University is one of the coolest assets our region has. And we really want to put a spotlight on some of the great work they do, and they're doing some work here at the Energy Innovation Center. And who better to talk to than Dr. Chris Howard? He just runs the place, right?
Thank you very much. But
thanks for stopping by, Dr. Howard. We really do appreciate it.
How long have you been over at RMU now?
I've been almost 2 years.
Hasn't been 2 years?
Only feels like 20, but it's only
been
2.
It feels like a month to me.
RMU years are like dog years. One equals seven.
It is. Ooh,
but,
okay.
But February 1st will be 2 years, and it's been a wonderful run, and our work with EIC and with energy concerns and technology have been a big part of our success and what we've done in the past and what we're going to do in the future.
But you brought a whole new perspective to RMU. You brought not just your own personal energy, but your ability to connect across the entire ecosystem locally and
good
beyond.
Point.
You're
so
nice to say that.
Really, no, it's true. I've been doing this gig for 10 years. I see it.
Well,
and
nice
so we're
that.
Really thrilled. But let's dig in a little bit. We're here at the Energy Innovation Center, and you've sort of built this new presence here. So
yes.
Talk about that, because that's what we're knitting together.
Well, we like to call this the Notorious EIC.
With
those who like Biggie
EIC.
Smalls.
nice.
The rapper, the Notorious EIC, B-I-G, EIC. You didn't think that President Howard would be talking about Biggie Smalls. I'll drop a Tupac line in there, too.
Oh, my goodness.
In all seriousness, we're so happy, as you said, Audrey and Jonathan, to be a part of the ecosystem, the network, the fiber, the fiber optic that kind of strews all of us together between industry, higher education, nonprofit, etc. And so no better place than to do it in a place like EIC, where I'm sitting around, and you on radio and don't see this, with a People's Gas tablecloth. Exactly right.
So
very good. They'll see that. And also with the Covestro piece as well.
Yep.
And what are we doing? What we bring is our higher education bona fides, and we have a wonderful space that we've raised some dollars for, which is great, where we're offering two certificate programs in advanced manufacturing, aka 3D printing.
Yeah,
and there'll be 18 credit hours each, one at the graduate level and one at the undergraduate level.
Very cool.
Oh,
now,
wow.
So now what this also does, it feeds into our commitment to advanced manufacturing.
Definitely.
Period, as a university, including manufacturing engineering, where we offer the only Bachelor of Science, accredited Bachelor of Science in manufacturing engineering in the Commonwealth.
That's why I said you were this asset for the region, because
so
you're doing things like that.
Yes.
Well, where
Love
are they going? So where are these students going? Give us some examples about where they're headed off to.
A couple things. I would say first, where they're coming from, because these are our traditional students, but also our non-traditional students.
Ah.
We did a great, we didn't do it in this space, we'll do it here in the future. We could work with Google and another organization, I think it was GE and Google, to do a 3D advanced manufacturing boot camp last summer, right? So these folks are coming from veteran space or coming from traditional space, etc. But where are they going? They're going in every space in the city, right? I mean, we have a great relationship with the GE
Additive manufacturing
in Findlay, led by Jennifer Cipolla, who's on our board of visitors for our School of Engineering, Math, and Sciences. So that's kind of a pure play, but there's not really any tech space or engineering space where they're not ending up because they have kind of design skills. They understand the manufacturing piece. In some ways, they're almost like industrial engineers because they're problem solvers as well. So we've got a kind of a mix of where they're going to. But I did want to just, again, reiterate what they're coming from everywhere. So all your listeners out there, whether they be, 17 or 70, we're offering something to help them advance their
really
skill set in this area.
And so the master's program, anything about the master's? master's program where people are going?
Again, this is just about the launch, but we don't go live in this space until April.
Oh, good.
Construction's
so
in place,
about
to happen.
Great. Okay.
But we still got something that we've done already on campus, and so I know that they're putting themselves in a position to, again, name the sector.
That's great.
They're going to be eligible, and then there's also opportunity to kind of go back. It's almost in some ways things like advanced manufacturing, a little bit like IT and healthcare. You can keep going back and getting additional credentials, additional lifelong learning.
Oh, I love that, which is so important.
It's critical.
I mean, it isn't like all of a sudden you get a degree and it's over.
Because it's lifelong learning, you know?
And so you being able to sort of feed that pipeline is something that we've totally missed here.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And what I like is that it's us, and it's back to your point about the ecosystem. Sometimes
right.
it's on the job, sometimes other universities. But we like the fact that we can do credential stacking, things that are non-degree. You know, they lead to a certificate, not a degree. But you
right.
get a certificate now, then you get a degree later.
I see.
And so on and so on.
A certificate sometimes is so much more important.
Because
it gives you the skills to start working
now.
That's right.
You know, and getting into the field that you want to get into.
Yes.
As far as that is.
You've been able to attract students from all over the world,
yes.
even in the last couple of years. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, especially in your engineering department.
Very much so. Very much so.
Because we recently did some coverage on the engineering department in TV
right.
Magazine. When I saw the different folks from around the world become engineers through your school, my mind went like this.
Well, the engineering program is the fastest growing degree program in the university. You know, people that know Robert Morris or Bobby Moe back,
right.
you know Robert Morris means business. My joke is that Bobby Moe has now gone Bobby Pro. In the sense that we're all about the professions, whether
exactly.
it be nursing and health sciences, communication information systems, education, teaching, obviously our accounting degree, actuarial science, etc. But back to the engineering piece, yes, that's a very robust piece led by Dr. Maria Kalevich. Yes, we have a dynamic woman
mm-hmm.
leading the School of Engineering,
She's
Math,
awesome.
And Sciences.
She's
right.
from
Great.
Another country, too.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
She is from Russia.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
from Russia originally. Not Russia, Pennsylvania, but Russia.
Exactly right.
There isn't a Russia.
There's not a Russia. Right. Well, there's something like...
It Russia. Seems like...
Is yes. it California, Pennsylvania?
Yeah,
you guys have confused me.
Trust me, it's all
true.
Good.
But she's done a great job. She's a great visionary for mm-hmm. the school. And why have you attracted so many people from different places, Jonathan, to your
right.
point? My mantra about Pittsburgh in general, about Robert Morris, is that we're big enough to matter, yet small enough to care. Big enough to matter, yet small enough to care. So you get the scale that makes you feel like
right.
a Pitt or a Carnegie Mellon or a Stanford.
You're not lost in the crowd.
But
though.
You're not lost in the crowd.
Right.
Sometimes we feel more like Washington, Jefferson, and Williams, and sometimes we feel more like Carnegie Mellon and Pitt.
With an awesome engineering department.
And on top of
yeah.
with a great engineering program that's really focused on getting people into the workforce and doing human capital development, we have great relationships, for example, with Carnegie Mellon. I mentioned them before.
Right.
But they're more on the theoretical side. You know, they're building the 17th internet out there, and they're kind
and
of...
And that's not
kind of,
for everyone.
That's not
right.
And,
not.
Exactly. And we're blessed to have them in our town. So
right.
we kind of found our sweet spot, whether
right.
it be in... things around cyber or things around advanced manufacturing. We kind of know what we know
right.
who we are.
And you work so closely with industry because they're on your board, and so you work with them to know what their needs are, and you are able to quickly adapt a curriculum
sure.
to provide those workers
that's,
to fill the need, which I thought was
nimble.
So
well,
cool.
Well, I would say this. I would just two more things. So I'd say in terms of our board, yes, people like the CEO of People's Gas, Morgan O'Brien, on our board, Robert Morris graduate. The head of ATI,
Rich Harshman.
He's a Robert Morris graduate, and he's also on our board. And the list goes on. And, Norm
okay.
Mitri, who
right.
runs Heritage Valley. So if you were to feed my board, RMU's board, some bad Chinese food, and they were to get sick, you know, half of Pittsburgh would be out of commission because, you know, these are the captains of industry.
Exactly.
So,
right.
you know, we make sure that the Chinese food and all the food is very good.
Very good for them.
Nobody
exactly.
ever gets
very
sick. Safe. It's very,
safe.
Very important. But I want to go back to one thing about the engineering piece, which
yeah.
I wanted, that I've just been kind of chewing on as of late. I just noticed
okay.
it. We just hired a new football coach, and he's got a great recruiting class coming in. And I mention that because a fair amount of these guys and gals that come to Robert Morris and are student athletes, they major in engineering, they major in health sciences, because we make it very user-friendly to be in nursing or engineering or information
rather
systems.
Rather than communications.
Yeah, and no offense against communication whatsoever, but, you know, not every campus is as friendly when
right.
it comes to
right.
getting their student athletes
wow.
into some of these STEM-related degrees. And we don't, you know, there's a young lady who turned down several lacrosse scholarships to other D1 school because she wanted to be pre-med and play D1 lacrosse. And it was just, we're just more able to do that. We're more accommodating than the school. So that gives us a little bit more of a geographic spread.
Exactly.
I mentioned that.
No, I love it. We've got a couple minutes left.
What about research over at?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've been doing some research. I mean, people don't think of that. And I every time I hear, like, oh my gosh, there's research going on.
There is. It falls under Dr. Daria Jacobs' outfit, Senior Vice Provost of Robert Morris. And over the years, Robert Morris has gone from being just a hands-on institution to doing research. We are a national doctoral granting R3 university, Research 3. Pitt, mm-hmm. Carnegie Mellon, Penn State, they're R1s, but we're an R3. So we're in the same group of 250 ranked schools. So yeah, we do research like we do with our engineering program in terms of being a bit more hands-on and focus on workforce stuff. Our focus on engineering is very practical, very hands-on. So for example, we got a National Science Foundation grant, NSF grant, right? Robert Morris, NSF grant, pretty cool. And it's focusing on cyber, and it's about mobile forensic cyber work, and it's very, very hands-on. It's people going to go work at PNC, going to work in the FBI, and we're with
a
consortium of other schools.
There's a huge gap.
And you know, the scientific community needs that, and the corporate side, the federal side, and we've been able to fill that niche, and you're going to see more to come.
Listen, we have tried to pack in so much by talking to you. First of all, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being a part of the community. Thank you for filling in the gaps that we have.
Exactly. And thanks for bringing your passion to the table, man. That's
just,
what I love about
hanging
it.
With us.
I appreciate
exactly.
it, guys.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you
making
much.
Us feel like we're not doing it.
Well, Jonathan, you're not. You're not doing
it. I'm trying.
Thank you, Jonathan.
If people want to learn more about Robert Morris, where can they go and check
easy.
You guys out?
Yeah, www.rmu.edu. Or just Google Robert Morris University.
I can even remember that.
Yeah, it's
for crying out loud.
A lot of good things happening. Follow us on social media and follow me on social media.
Right.
We're doing a lot of interesting things around STEM.
We're glad you're in town doing what you're doing. Wish you continued success moving forward at Robert Morris University.
Thank you.
Well, we love bringing this show out, bringing great folks in to talk about what they're doing here at the Energy Innovation Center with People's Gas.
Yeah.
We get to have way too much fun.
I love it.
Yeah, we're taking a quick break. We're coming right back. Remember, go to peoples-gas.com to check them out. Go to pghtech.org and see how for the past 35 years the Pittsburgh Technology Council has been doing what it's been doing to help technology companies succeed. And also go to pghtechfuse.com, our new media hub. We've got some great content
on
there. All types of good stuff. So, anyway, we're taking a quick break. We are coming right back, I swear. This is Jonathan Kirschning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Welcome back. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio, the neighborhood tour with People's Gas. Love hanging out here at the Covestro Bright Room and the Energy Innovation Center.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, getting a little bit of history here about what this place was and where it is now is really pretty exciting.
It's just way too cool to be here, and we have Morgan O'Brien with us. This is the guy behind People's Gas.
There you go.
Yeah, thanks for stopping out and hanging out with us tonight.
No, I appreciate you guys doing what you're doing here. This is great.
We get so pumped up to take the show on the road, because to us, it's like we're the action is happening.
Sure.
And the Energy Innovation Center, along with People's, I mean, these are some big foundational things going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
it is. So what's exciting most to you right now?
Yeah, what's firing you up?
You know, I start with, as a region, right, all the wonderful things that are going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my world, I sit and think about, you know, this region is sitting on an incredibly large natural gas reserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, how large? Well, it's the largest in the United States. It's the second largest in the world.
Is it?
Is the Marcellus the second?
And you're talking about the Utica as well as
the Marcellus.
That's like one big play now, right?
So the gas that's in the ground is the second most amount of gas yet to be pulled out of the earth.
Mm.
Second largest in the world, the largest in the United States. And then you say to yourself, so what do we do with that?
Right.
So if all we do are put holes in the ground and suck the gas out and move it to Chicago and Atlanta and New York, right? No big deal, right? So the question becomes, how do we take all the positive things that are going on in this region and take advantage of having all this gas? And that's really...
Is that what keeps you up at night?
It's what keeps me going during the day.
Does it?
And, you know, and we've gotten into this... We've got all this incredible... call it the Amazon buzz that's going on, right? We've got the innovation, technology.
Right, the world we live in.
We are so smart and cutting edge. And I'm in this old gas world, right? But I've got so much of it, and it's so important. And so I always tell people you have one or two reactions when you're in that old world to innovation and technology, right?
Okay,
you either fight it. and create barriers because I'm afraid of it. I don't know what it means for me. I know what the old world looked like.
Sure.
I don't know what tomorrow brings, so I fight it.
Right.
Or I take an approach that says I want to embrace it and help define it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way I would describe our strategy is we're trying to embrace it and help define the future of the region and how we benefit from being so smart, so techy,
right,
so cutting edge,
right,
and utilizing this natural gas resource that we have to bring the two together. And so
that's the secret sauce.
So what's our horizon for that? What do you think our horizon is in terms of time?
I think we've got the next 5 years. And then I think if we don't take advantage of it and don't create the positive momentum, all we're going to see are really big pipes that take that gas to other places.
Okay.
Really?
Potentially even exporting it overseas. So the next 5 years, and really today it starts, is mm-hmm. how do we take the things that you guys are engaged
right.
with, bring it into our world,
right.
and get people excited about it.
Right.
And, you know, you talk about touring this center, and one of the things we did here was we wanted to bring some of that technology here in a very visible place
mm-hmm.
that people who are planning the future of the region, thinking about developments,
right.
thinking about modern manufacturing, can actually come here and see some of the technology
right.
at work. And so we've got a combined heat and power unit in the basement of this building that
oh.
you can literally walk around and see the technology working. It's producing electricity, it's creating heat, it's using natural gas that we have here in this region. And it's having a huge environmental benefit as the old alternative of buying your electricity off of the grid.
So what do you want the folks who are actually representing, in many ways, traditional technology and innovation, what do you want them to know and carry with them in terms of this time? Because you have an imminent time frame.
Yeah. Yeah, and so what we've tried to do and what we're trying to do here today is put out a welcome mat to say, if you've got ideas and you've got cutting-edge innovation that utilizes energy,
right.
we want to help you make it happen.
Okay.
And we don't necessarily have the tech people here. We don't have the R&D that's
mm-hmm.
going on. It's an open door. And we started with a partnership with Carnegie Mellon University on something as simple as how do we replace the pipes
right.
in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We partnered with CMU, who had a federal grant to do a study on methane emissions and environmental issues. And they educated our folks on those issues. And they said, that's really unusual for a utility to sort of embrace an
right.
environmental issue and really look at technology to help them become smarter. And they said to me, we also have a bunch of other technology that's being developed associated with the university. And we, one by one, we've been knocking on those doors to say, we can become either a place for you to play in the sandbox
right.
or an avenue to our customers
mm-hmm.
that we can educate those customers on what the technology is that you're doing.
Right.
We have a pilot program that we're going to roll out later this year where we're going to bring fuel cells into people's homes where you basically
right.
take natural gas, and the big environmental issue with fossil fuels is that we burn it. Right? And what happens when you burn it?
You got the emissions, and you don't want the emissions.
So exactly.
It eliminates the emissions.
So a fuel cell is just like a big battery, right? And all it does is has a chemical reaction and takes the natural gas, separates the elements of that natural gas, and creates basically like a battery electricity. And the only waste is water. And it's...
Wow, that's impressive.
And is that water reusable?
It's reusable. It might even
like
be cleaner
water?
Than PWSA for all I know. So.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness.
So, okay, probably is.
So the invite is we want to help people with ideas
okay.
and technology.
That's so interesting.
Combine it with
right.
the natural gas resource and say, I'm the utility.
Right.
I don't know all the applications, all the
right.
processes.
Right.
But we want to become a place where people come and say we could partner with them and they can actually help our business plan
and
expand.
I'm imagining that across almost anything.
Anything.
Right?
It has
anything.
To go across.
I'm
yeah.
imagining that across anything,
anything
to helping you optimize inefficiencies
Absolutely.
To new solutions.
We've had people bring us drones with technology, that infrared technology that can detect where potential gas leaks are going to occur under bridges.
Pretty
we have
important.
All these bridges, and we have to have a person who literally gets on safety equipment, and it's a big
climb underneath
to go
there,
underneath
right?
the bridge.
Now they have a drone that can fly
drone
underneath and
zips
check it
through
out.
There and actually provides us real live technology. One of the technologies that Carnegie Mellon connect us with is a little robot, and I say little, it can actually go through a 4-inch pipe and can video inside the pipe to tell you where, start predicting where potential issues could happen, and actually provide exact GPS markings of that pipe. So as people are tearing up roads,
they know exactly where to go or not to go.
This
right?
isn't like within a couple feet. This is within, exactly where the pipe
exactly
is.
Where it is.
And so we're trying to literally say to folks, there's all kinds of applications, and we're not defining what those are. We're not the ones creating it, but really trying to accept it and say, the world's going to change. Technology is going to drive us there, and we want to help see that happen and help define it.
Well, I think the other thing is this urgency that you've got.
Yeah.
By saying we have like this 5-year window that we either decide what we're going to do, how we're going to do it.
Absolutely.
Or else.
Exactly.
That's quite a call to action.
It is a call to action, and it happens at a time when we look around the region, right, and we've got all this exciting, I'll call it momentum, right?
We do.
And so we want to play in that momentum to build even more momentum, right? So this is not taking a car that's completely stopped and trying to create some motion here. This is a region where there's a lot of positive things.
We're doing 60 right now.
I think 60.
We're doing 120.
And exactly. And most of it's all around the ideas of technology, innovation. And we're saying, you know, for mostly almost every application, energy's involved.
Exactly.
And if we can play a part in bringing that, we've got, I call it a sandbox to play in.
It's such a cool, forward-looking attitude.
You had a fun job. I thought I had a fun job.
I think Morgan's job is more fun than your job.
I think you just trumped it.
Yeah. It's
wow.
We're having fun. It keeps us up at night. How about that?
I know.
We started?
I'm sure it does.
And only in Pittsburgh, where you're going to combine tech and energy and have it all here, and then have leaders like you be able to recognize that and then pair these together and say, we have to do this in 5 years.
Well, I'm feeling urgent now as a result of this. I'm sitting here, my wheels are turning.
Absolutely.
Thinking,
5 years goes by very quick.
Well, yep.
You know
that's nothing.
Right. And we've got all these smart people sitting in their basements and in the back office of a garage, you know, working on tomorrow's solutions.
Well, you never know where the next innovation is going to come from.
Exactly.
I mean, I look out the window here and I see Ron Gdovic's Windstack out there.
Exactly.
That was a backyard innovation as well.
So do you anything for fun?
I do. My life's fun. So that's how I define it. So I have the best job in the world. I work with the best people in the world.
You really
and
do.
I'm in an incredibly lucky situation right now, sitting where we are from a business perspective.
Yeah. Wow. This is Morgan O'Brien, if you just joined in with People's Gas.
Absolutely.
And I'm stoked. I'm stoked to think. I mean, the urgency is real. And
totally
the opportunity
is.
For be a place that just transforms in a whole other industry.
Absolutely.
You know.
And we all have such, you know, particularly people of my generation, we have historic, this is the way things happen, this is the way things are done.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, in your world, everybody's redefining that every day.
Every day.
We can't keep up.
We're always like, oh my goodness. So taking
an industry like energy and really trying to say, it's going to change at that same rapid pace, and we don't have to be the ones controlling it, defining it. And so those old days of putting up barricades
and trying
to slow things down.
Open architecture for energy.
Open architect. I don't know where it's going to take us, but I want to be a part of it.
I love it.
In this region, there's so many exciting things going on, so why not partner with what's happening here and really help drive it?
And I encourage everyone, go to peoples-gas.com to really check this all out. There's so much on your website.
Absolutely.
To really make that your entry point
absolutely.
As far as that goes. And Morgan, we can't thank you enough for having us.
No, it's been a great show. And we appreciate all the work you guys put into it.
Thank you.
We're pumped up because we're coming back next week. We have two shows. This is just part one of us hanging out at the Energy Innovation Center with People's Gas.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't do it without you guys.
All right.
So we just love putting a spotlight on all these great success stories happening
here.
So Very cool stuff. We'll be back next week. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org and go over to TechFuse Pittsburgh, pghtechfuse.com for all your tech news, our new media site. Very excited. We got podcasts there. We got breaking news. We got features, profiles.
Videos.
We got it all.
Right.
And then have yourself an awesome weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.